Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Bonjour, dans cet épisode, pas de bonjour, c'est Sergueï Stakhovski. Bienvenue dans Échange, le podcast du tennis. Déjà parce que l'humeur n'y est pas et puis on ne va pas parler de tennis, ou très peu. Je lui ai envoyé un message de soutien et puis c'est à ce moment que m'est venue l'idée. Je trouvais ça important d'avoir son témoignage et il m'a tout de suite dit oui, car il me disait à quel point c'était aussi une guerre de communication. L'épisode est en anglais, la qualité n'est pas aussi bonne que d'habitude, mais il était réfugié dans un parking en sous-sol, dans sa voiture, au cas où le raid aérien russe qui passait au-dessus de sa tête larguerait une bombe. Une autre réalité que la nôtre, pas si loin de chez nous. Je m'appelle Antoine Beneteau, et c'est aussi ça, Échange.
We do it in English, of course.
Yeah, better. Je préfère, ouais. English, s'il vous plaît.
Well, Sergueï, thank you so much for accepting my invitation on such a short notice. And I want to say before starting the interview that I would have loved not to do the interview in this condition. And but I feel that it is important that your voice is heard as much as we can through all kind of media. So thank you so much. First of all, where are you right now?
In a garage. I'm in Kiev. We're in a garage today. Supposed to be a lot of airstrikes over the Kiev.
And you just had a air raid.
Yeah.
And were there bombs?
Yeah. Not that we heard them. I guess not so close, but we heard them this time.
When did you arrive in Kiev?
It's going to be 40. Right, I arrived yesterday noon. It's going to be my second night. Yeah, yesterday, 11 o'clock, we entered Kiev.
With who are you right now?
With a friend of mine. He sent his family across the border and he picked me up from the border.
And how did you enter Ukraine?
I enter on foot. I crossed from Slovakia.
And how long was the walk?
No, the walk when you cross the border is maybe a couple of kilometers because there was a lot of people standing, so you have to walk all the way back. But it's not that hard. I mean, crossing the border on foot is not that hard. You just drive to one end of the border and then you walk maybe 400, 300 meters and then you cross the border.
All right. What is the situation right now in Kiev so we can understand what it is?
It's pretty safe. I would say there are some small fights on the outskirts of Kiev, but there is no Russian troops inside Kiev. There are certain, I would say, dangerous directions to drive out because they're standing around the city. Sorry, a bit tired. They're standing around the city, but they still don't control all the directions. But they're not. There's no gunfights inside. So yes, there's a little groups, and the police and the territorial defense and the special services. They look for these little assault groups, or people who work for the Russians, and you know, they disarm them and they bring them to the police. But no major gunfights.
And are they planning to come to Kiev, the Russian, right now?
Yeah, I guess that's their plan. That's the only plan. They're trying not to take any other cities, but they are trying to concentrate themselves in Kiev.
You took the decision to enlist in the army. How did you take that decision? Why did you take it?
Honestly, I took it even before. It was, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. So even before everything started. It was just, you know, you sign up for territorial defense. There's not many obligations. It's not like, you know, you cannot travel because you basically have not really a contract. They just call you in when time like this happens. And then on top, you're only responsible for the city. You cannot be used outside of city premises. So it's like a national guard. You cannot go abroad. The city territorial defense is only can be used inside the premises of the city, which is okay because you understand that, you know, you're going the last in, and but you still show up. You still show that you're ready because you never started the military. You never had a military training. So, you know, you start and you're ready to fulfill your duty.
Right now, what is your day like when you are, and are you working for the army right now? Are you doing some stuff with the people over there?
Well, every day is a bit different. Today we had a lot of communication setting up. We were going to one of the territorial units. We need to try to coordinate them with the place where we are in. So when there's a lot of checkpoints around Kyiv, because basically every territorial unit is a district in the city, and they control the district and they're responsible for that district. So in order for you to pass, you would pass normally, but there's a checkpoint. And if you need to pass more fast and smoothly, you need to coordinate with them and, you know, and get the right people to know the right plates, which what kind of car is coming through. So there's a lot of logistics involved. And on top, yeah, we're just unloading truck, you know, not a lot of things to do. And the rest is basically waiting for assignment, waiting for, you know, something to happen.
Can it happen that you are going to be assigned for fighting?
Of course, but I think that we are the last resort.
Okay. And you left. Where did you leave your family? Because you're a father as well. Where is your family right now?
In Budapest. Kids and my wife are in Budapest.
Okay.
My father stayed here.
Yeah.
And my brother is here, and they didn't leave. So I would say maybe one of the reasons was that, but in general, I just didn't want to be deferred to any other individual. No, there's a lot of husbands, fathers who send their daughters west and they stay behind to fight. I just don't see why I should get any privilege if I want to have a Ukrainian passport. And I want to have a country which I can call home. Sometimes you have to do something for it.
Of course. Do you communicate with your family daily?
Yes.
Yeah.
With my wife, I'm not trying. Well, so far it's only been a couple of days, so I just don't want my kids to, you know, to be worried, so they don't know. So I just communicate with my wife.
So we can understand better why this war is going on, and maybe to have a Ukrainian perspective, because we have what the media says here to us, and we believe it. But why there is a war right now between Russia and Ukraine?
Well, it's actually not the war between; it's a Russia invading Ukraine. There's a big difference in it. The reason for them, I think in the beginning, they wanted to change the government to put back Yanukovych, which was living in Russia for the last 8 years, to install him as a new president and basically, you know, let the country kind of free, but with a Russian force in it. That didn't work. And now I think that, you know, based on what targets they strike the targets all over Ukraine, not only in Donetsk and Luhansk region, but all over Ukraine. I think the target is just to take over, complete hostile takeover of the country. Of course, installing their own government and basically expanding the Russia Federation territory into Ukraine.
Do you fear that it might happen? Do you think it can happen? It's possible?
I don't think it is possible. I've seen how motivated the people are when I was driving through Ukraine. I've seen how motivated they are not to have a Russian world near them, how motivated they are to fight off and, you know, stand their ground. So for Russia to conquer Ukraine, it's going to be a challenge. Yes, it's going to be a lot of death, but it's going to be a challenge because none of the people who live now in Ukraine, okay, I'm not going to say none, but 99% of the people who live in Ukraine, they don't want to live in Russia. They want to live in Ukraine. They want to live in democracy. They want to live in freedom of speech. They want to live in a country which, you know, which is rightful and is moving towards the values of European Union and not towards the, I don't know, Tataro-Mongolian ego.
Sorry for the questions, but it's okay. I had a lot of comments from French listeners of the podcast. First, they send you a lot of support, and they want to say that, of course, they are mainly tennis fans, so they followed you as a player, but they were really impressed and touched by what you did and by enlisting at the in the reserve army. And they asked me on social media, how can friends, how can individuals out of, you know, the government, how can they help?
Well, they can help by not promoting, but saying that there's a war in Ukraine, you know, just making awareness of that, that this is happening inside the Europe, making awareness that if Ukraine fail, then the Russian values are going to be on the borderline with Europe, which is Hungary, with Romania, with Slovakia, with Poland. And then, you know, Putin has a red button, which he threatens the world already now when he's not even attacking, he's defending. He's attacking and he's threatening the world with nuclear weapons. What's going to happen if he's going to feel threatened and he's going to be attacked? I mean, he's going to use it for sure, meaning that the world is not really a safe place right now. And the French can, you know, push their government to be more strict, to put more pressure on the politician side and to actually do something about Putin. Or they can also, of course, financially help and you know, and donate to the Ukrainian army, because at times I have to say we have a lot of people willing to take arms, but I would say that not enough equipment to take arms.
You said that there was going to be dead people happening if Russia keeps progressing into the country. Do you know how many Ukrainians already died because of Russia?
I don't know how many in total, but I know that just today, about a couple of hours ago, when they were trying to hit the television station in Kiev, they killed 4 innocent civilians, including a child, with a missile launch.
So they're not only targeting military facilities.
They were never targeting military facilities. They were targeting residential buildings. Yesterday, they hit 67 buildings in residential area in Kharkov. Today, they sent 2 missiles in the city center of Kharkiv, in the city center, in the heart, in the biggest square in Eastern Europe. It's a freedom square, I think. And you can see there's images on the internet. You can see that it's just a regular day. There's no military objects out there. And they just send the missiles there. It's barbaric what they're doing. It has nothing to do with war. They're fighting the people who doesn't want to fight.
In the middle of that, I had also some questions about tennis, what the tennis bodies or decisions are taking right now. And of course, it's more than secondary what's happening into the tennis world. But did you get reactions and support from your peers? Do you get messages?
A lot. I got really a lot of messages, especially a lot from the French, which I'm not going to say I'm surprised, but I'm very happy that I did. It makes me feel better, you know, because I understand that we're not left alone out here, that the people actually follow what's going on, and that's nice. Yeah, the governing bodies made a statement today. It's something. I mean, to be real with you, I think the sanctions and the world, which is pushing Russia away, is something very powerful, because Russia takes pride, or Putin takes pride, in sports. He is taking pride in, you know, they were always top three Olympic. He was using inside the country to promote himself. And now regular people are having problems paying their checks in restaurants outside of Russia because Visa is canceling the cards. These things, they work, because these things bring us back to the moment where every single Russian individual is responsible for the president they elect. And it goes back, because they are the superb power in a democratic world, is the citizen. The power is given to the citizen, and based on his election or his vote, they delegate that power to the politicians. So they delegated that power to Putin, and he's killing people. So it's a collective responsibility for them.
And what do you think about what Irina Svitolina did and refusing to play against the Russian player?
No, she didn't refuse to play against the Russian player. She refused to play against the player with a Russian flag. And that's a big difference right there, because okay. I think she will play today, because ITF and WTA announced that the Russian players will compete without a flag.
All right.
And without a country. So it is, I think, a situation where she was right, because just yesterday they killed about 30 people, 30 people in Kharkov, just by shelling with grads. And today she's supposed to compete against a girl on a scoreboard. There will be a flag of a country, the same flag that the soldiers are carrying who killed mm-hmm. those 30 people.
I see, I understand. And were you touched by Yamstrem? I'm going to try to say the name. Diana Yastremska, that was about to win tonight, and that she showed the Ukrainian flag on the court.
Yeah, every little detail, the sport unites Ukraine. The football players, they went on, the clubs allowed them to have Ukrainian flags on the t-shirts. Everything showed gratitude and support. And it's great, because, you know, Ukrainians, they don't feel left out. They feel that they're supported. And that drives their motivation higher, and they have the reason to fight on, because they understand that it's not only them against the Russia, it's the world against the Russia. Yes, not really directly in terms of arms, but at least in terms of information.
Is there do you guys feel like you're connected and there's a solidarity between you guys, the Ukrainians?
No, there is a solidarity in general. Of course, there's also a lot of tension, because when you get to the checkpoint, you know, the guys are scared who is coming. So it's, but in general, everybody is trying to be supportive. I mean, today we went into the shop on the way back. We needed to buy some batteries for the equipment. And, you know, the people were trying to pay our bill, to pay our check, just for the appreciation that, you know, we are sort of military and, you know, we are trying to do something about it. And it's nice, because random people, you know, they come and ask you if you need food, if you need water, if they can pay your bill. This nation is unbeatable, I would say.
And you are famous over there. And of course...
Not in a military dress.
It fits you well, if we can laugh
Thanks.
About it.
Thanks.
Did you feel that what you did took the decision to enlist to the army? Do you feel that the people appreciated it, or it was just normal stuff to do?
I think people appreciate it. I think it also boosts up the morale a little bit, you know, that when you have a person who can afford to skip the war and to go and retreat and be safe. But instead of doing that, he is coming back. That I think also drives a little bit higher. But in general, I think the main driver of what's going on in Ukraine now is the president. You know, he's showing face, he's showing bravery. He's not scared to stay and, you know, to face the consequences, but he's staying behind the country. He's staying behind the idea. He's standing behind his morals, which is remarkable because I'm pretty sure that there's no one politician who would be in this position surrounded by three sides by Russian tanks who wouldn't flee the capital. But he's still here and he's still fighting. So, I mean, he's fighting in his political terms, but he's not giving up and he's encouraging people and he's constantly online with his citizens. It's truly inspiring.
Right now, you're in a garage hiding, but where do you live? You guys are in a military facility, or you're in an apartment, or
you could say we are in an apartment building.
Okay, and you're all together. All the military is ready to go.
No, everybody. Yeah. No, but everybody's different goals, and every single territorial unit lives in a different place. So it's not like all of the Kievan, you know, army is located in one place. They were all spread out across the city.
Well, it feels weird, and it felt a bit weird to talk about tennis right now, but it seems really shallow. And so I want to ask you a last question. Are you okay to record another episode when everything will be over?
I very much hope that we can do that.
I hope too, as well. And I want to say, Sergei, that I'm happy that my French peers showed you support, because that's true that in the locker room, you were always liked, loved by the French players, I can say. And it was always a pleasure to run into you, to talk to you in the locker. And for Julian and I, it was always a pleasure. So we send you all the support.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you, Anton.
Thank you, Sergei. All the best wishes for you and your people and Ukraine.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Thanks.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.